Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today I'm joined by Mary Keough, who is the Director of Product and Content Marketing at CoLab and also the co-host of the Purposeful Marketing Podcast. Mary, I'm so pumped to dig into it today. We were just chatting before we press record, but we've been like fans of each other for a few years. So excited to learn from you and share a couple things around product marketing. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Mason. I was so excited to come on. Like I said, I think we said long time follower, first time face-to-face meeting. So this is super fun.
Yeah, I gotta love all those. With that, I want to dig right into it. What's the high level of what we're talking through today?
Yeah, so we're going to talk about a ABM / demand generation playbook that I ran for an early stage Series A SaaS company and how the results played out and some roadblocks that I ran into. So what we're going to talk about is why we ran this play. So identifying the bottleneck in the business first. So why it was even necessary to run a play like this. We're going to talk about how that playbook played out. And from my experience with agency life and doing this for other companies. And then we'll talk about the results, which are always fun.
I love it. So with that, like you mentioned, again, this is early stage Series A. We talked about this a little bit beforehand, but this is going to be very squarely focused on like how do you actually generate pipeline. Most Series A startups do not have a customer expansion motion yet because they don't have enough customers. So very exactly. Focused on like how do you actually get logos in the door. So let's go ahead and dig into what were the tools that you guys were using to actually build this program?
Yep. So the tools I implemented, which weren't being used quite yet, were HubSpot CRM. So that's how I identified who we would be targeting and why we would be targeting them. We used LinkedIn ads, we used Zoom info, and we used like a little bit of some spreadsheets to do some like deeper analysis, but it was pretty scrappy ABM kind of stuff, which I loved. Love it. Very bootstrapped.
Perfect. So again, as we think through the data component, it sounds like you were largely using Zoom info for a lot of enrichment and then HubSpot for the yes. initial targeting components. And again, as we think through that tech stack, most modern day businesses already have a CRM in place. It's LinkedIn ads and then some form of a data enrichment source. So a very, what I would say, a standard tech stack, super helpful. So again, now we've got tools. We got an understanding of where this was from a stage perspective. Help me understand a little bit more of you mentioned the gap in the business, like the why we ran it. So what were you guys trying to solve for as you built this program?
Yes. So the company that I was hired on, it was Map My Customers. A lot of people started following me after I was head of marketing there. So they needed a marketing leader because a lot of their marketing to date had been freelancers. So hiring people to write high keyword blogs to get a lot of traffic to the website, a lot of email nurturing campaigns, but never done with a high level leader who is also tying these results to business growth, business outcomes. So that's what they were looking for in a marketing leader. It came at a perfect time in my career because I'd run these playbooks at the agency and they were working. But as anybody who's in a good agency knows, you can never really get into the nitty gritty. When you're in-house, you get to collaborate with other team members. You get to dive deeper into the customers, do a lot of customer interviews. You just get a broader view of how the program works overall, rather than just doing some LinkedIn ads, seeing that it results in leads in pipeline and saying, oh, it must work, right? Came at a perfect time. Their business had a giant gap, which was pipeline generation. So there was very little pipeline being generated by the website or by inbound. There was a lot of pipeline being generated by SDRs. So just cold calling people, typical SDR playbook. And the problem was the marketing, the very small, tiny bit of marketing pipeline that was being generated was converting to revenue at a really high rate. So like 20 to 30%. Okay. The very large amount of pipeline that was being generated by SDRs was converting at an exceptionally low rate. So think like 1 to 3%. So there was definitely this very odd balance in the business, and they knew it. So they knew they needed to up their marketing game. So the first thing I did when I got there is just see, why is marketing working? Like, what about the marketing buyer's journey at Map My Customers is working today? So what we found out, a lot of people are coming to the website, hitting the gated product tour, hitting a few features pages, and then booking a demo, not surprisingly, right? So a lot of product-based pages. So a lot of discovering what we do exactly and how it works exactly. So I knew that we needed to just like beef up the content on the product pages and on the product tour. So that's the why. So what was going wrong in the business and what I had identified as the next steps.
Yeah. Again, what I really love about the breakdown that you just shared is you were looking at the different sources of pipeline generation, then also seeing those two close, because I think a lot of people still just look at a blended close rate and don't understand the nuances of how our close rates vary by deal sources. And then you could very clearly see, oh, like this is killing it. We're not spending a lot of time here. We're investing a lot into SDR headcount and it's like not working. So super helpful breakdown. I guess we think through the content component. You already mentioned you had a gated product demo. You had these feature pages. You had your homepage. So as you think about beefing up the content, a lot of people would say that's good content. How did you think about actually beefing up your content and creating a lot more of it?
Yep. So the big problem was, I told you earlier, we had a few freelancers who were writing some high keyword SEO blogs, right? Just driving traffic to the website. When I looked at how that was performing from landed on the page, filled out a form, converted to pipeline, converted to revenue, it was abysmal. So I knew that blogs and high keywords were not where we wanted to focus our very tiny resources in marketing. Mm-hmm. So instead, the product pages, as they weren't telling the best story about why the features we had were driving value for customers today. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, there was this, again, this balance where we were focusing so much on the blog and it was producing very little results and not focusing enough on these features pages, which is where most people who were actually converting into pipeline and revenue were coming from. So the first thing I knew we had to do was map out what are our top four features that everyone's using. How can we categorize those in these big sections? So most people were using, for folks who are not familiar, Map My Customers is a map-based CRM for outside sales. So outside sales folks are on the road constantly. So Think about, you hop in your car, you're pulling up Map My Customers, and what you basically get is Google Maps, but all your accounts are like little plots on the map. Yeah, really cool product, beautifully designed. We just really needed to get more people to recognize it. So we knew that people were using the mapping, not surprising. Circle your accounts, get your day mapped out on the map. And we knew they were using this thing we called account segmentation. So most sales reps are going to segment their accounts by like tier one, tier two, tier three, maybe their suppliers, customers, distributors. So just like they're mapping their customers in some kind of segmented way. So we called that account segmentation. The third was they were doing some kind of like reporting and analysis, like, how many accounts am I visiting per day? What is the revenue generated from these accounts? How can I spend my time better? So that was another one. And then finally, it was, what are like the top level leadership? So what's like sales management looking at? So that's the users on a day-to-day basis, but how can we really figure out what sales managers are using? So we had those big four key categories. We mapped out some features. You can go on the website right now. It hasn't changed since I left there. And we just described exactly how people are getting value from each of those big groups of features. And then what we did was say, we need a lot of more people visiting these pages. And one of the best ways to guarantee distribution, especially for sales leaders, is LinkedIn ads. It's like far and away one of the most effective channels for reaching that leadership type in particular. So we just started running ads to the features pages, and it was just like, it took off almost instantly. It was really cool. So we saw tons of leads coming in, and within maybe 5 to 6 months of running the playbook, we had 8 million in pipeline. So really cool.
Oh my goodness. Again, what I love about it is the simplicity of it. So the recognition that when people view these pages, they convert. And they convert not into pipeline, but also, again, from a predictability perspective, we'll lowball it. 1 in 5 actually become a customer. So the question is, how do we get more people to hit these pages? And actually, I love the call out of, we just needed more proof. One of the things that I've been really feeling in an ABM context is the whole goal of your marketing is just to prove you are who you say you are. So if you're going to make a bold claim of, we help fintech companies do XYZ, how do you prove it in your marketing? And that's it. If you can prove it and that claim resonates, awesome. People will book a call. If it doesn't, that's okay. Like, you'd move on to the next person. And
yeah, that is so key, Mason. Like the simplicity. I love that you say the simplicity of the message, because what we were also saying was, Matt, my customers drives a 40% increase in revenue. And the logic points to get from me opening up the app to an increase in 40% of revenue is incredibly detailed, complicated, and convoluted. So we could really only point to a few customers who are like, yeah, I guess it increased revenue by 40%. I found a new account and I met them and I hadn't met them in a while, so I sort of did. What message was really resonating with sales leaders, so people who are managing the reps day to day, was stop driving past key accounts. That was it. Super simple. But what they found was, without a map-based system, so you just have like your HubSpot CRM, which is amazing for like inside sales, people who are not on the road, is that's what they were using. They were just getting their list of key accounts for the day, not on a map. So they might be visiting like 3 key accounts and there's 2 within 2 miles, but it's not on the list for the day. And so they don't even know that they're there. So they could have easily visited it with 45 minutes, dedicated some time there. So that's all the sales leadership wanted. They were like, yes, finally, something where my reps are going to see more accounts in a single day because it's finally mapped for them, like very clearly.
Yeah. And I just think it's very difficult to always show a clear revenue attribution. But if you can just simply say, this is a cost savings, because for context, like, I grew up the son of a pharmaceutical representative that was driving all over the state. So like, it's literally cost saving because there's gas, there's wear and tear on the vehicle. There's a lot of things that come together, and those are very easy proof points versus 40% in revenue increase, harder to prove out.
Exactly.
Awesome. So as we think through, again, it sounds like 4, 5, 6 months was that 8 million in pipeline. I am curious, from like a start to in market, like, how long did you guys take to beef up these product pages and then start running LinkedIn ads?
Yeah, so that was all me. And I knew that's where we needed to focus our time. So it maybe took me 2 or 3 weeks, but that's just like me basically like in sprint mode. Mm-hmm. That is all I did for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. And I always like to call that out, because often when we hear about like an ABM program, we think, oh, like, we've got to go through the 3-month RevOps project. And there's yes and no. If you truly just focus and put your head down and get it done, a lot of these playbooks can be implemented in a 4 to 6 week timeframe. And then yep. You start proving out results, and then you double down on those things. So I love that it only took you 2 to 3 weeks. Also, benefits sometimes of a small solo marketing team.
Absolutely.
As far as budget, again, we're looking at this through the lens of, this was really good content, HubSpot instance, some data enrichment through Zoom info, and ads. So what was the budget you guys were using to build out this playbook?
Yep. So we had $15,000 per month in budget to spend on LinkedIn ads. And then I was also using Facebook a little bit for retargeting. Okay. So I was dedicating the bulk of it to LinkedIn ads and then a little bit to Facebook retargeting.
Perfect. And then the other question on that front, because some people, they may hear 15K and they're like, whoa, that is not a super scrappy, but can you help us get some context around like your average contract value?
Yeah. So our ACV was between like 20 and 30K.
Okay. So again, if we think about it from that perspective, realistically, you needed 2 customers a month to get a ballpark 3 to 4X ROI on year one.
Yeah. And the really interesting thing about this play, like I said, we were seeing results really quickly. And what we found, not surprisingly, some mid-market companies were coming. So we were targeting anywhere from company revenue equals maybe 25 million to roughly a billion or so. And the companies who were coming in, maybe their ACV was a little bit lower, but they were converting within like weeks. The sales cycle previous was like 15 months. So we were seeing this like insane reduction in the sales cycle, which was also getting people really excited. And I think that's also a really good metric to point to when you're proving something like this out is, hey, maybe we're not, to your point, getting the 2 or 3 customers per month right away that we need, but we're seeing these really small companies like convert and understand our value so quickly that they're just like, yeah, give me the app. Let's go.
Yes. God, I love that because especially when you run an ABM program correctly, it's not just you get these dream accounts, but they close faster and generally at a higher value. So this is just like such a testament to pipeline acceleration when you do good ABM.
Yep. So I agree.
Only other question around budget is just, did you have such a conviction internally that you were like, we're going to start at that 15K or did you ramp up to that based on some early wins?
Yeah, I had a pretty strong conviction. So I think we started with 15K right out of the gate.
Awesome.
Yep. And the interesting thing was once we had that 15K and we were seeing results within 3 to 4 months, maybe they weren't closing right away, but we were seeing a lot more well-educated leads come into our sales team asking really high value questions. Then it was very easy for me to ask for a budget increase in 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, I love it. Last couple of questions here. So one, were there any unexpected roadblocks or challenges that you had to overcome in actually building out this playbook?
Yes. So I think one of the interesting ones, since we're talking about ABM as in account-based marketing. So I've really broadened my definition of what account-based marketing is as a result of running this play, because I think it is important to look at, this is another thing that we can talk about during the LinkedIn ads targeting. So when I was analyzing the CRM, I was finding that we were having a lot of success in the automotive industry. We had a lot of motor manufacturers, tire manufacturers, gas tank distributors, just like random people in the automotive sector. So I had this idea where I was like, we should just attack the automotive sector. Let's take one of our content pieces that's working really well. So we'll take the features page. Maybe we'll take little modules from each features page, add a case study in there, and make it a dedicated landing page just for automotive. We were seeing a ton of traction, but super interestingly, the CPMs like quadrupled. Like we went from $50 CPM to 150. It was crazy. So not a terrible thing because we're having a smaller audience and I want exposure in that audience. So I didn't think it was too bad. But then the other interesting thing, I was sending a list to our SDR team. Hey, go call these automotive folks. Here's a list of people who are getting the message. Maybe here's the folks who are clicking through. So just like generating that interest. And what we found out was twofold. So first, it was a lot slower and more expensive to run a hyper-focused campaign like that. And number two, we found out a lot of interesting things about the automotive market. So the automotive market is structured very tightly. So we have our OEMs, all the big names you think of, Ford, Tesla, Hyundai, those are like an OEM. Then you have your tier one suppliers. And those are the folks who are maybe supplying them with semiconductors, the AirPlay things, your steering wheel, your seat, they're supplying those things. But they're really just distributors, okay? So then we move down the chain and I just make the fabric for the seats that go in all of Ford's vehicles. So the problem with this is they don't have a lot of customers. So we do really well map-based CRM if you have a lot of customers because you want to see them plotted out all on a map. So we were getting on calls with folks and they were like, we have 25 customers. I don't need to talk to you. And we were like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. So what we found out through running this hyper-focused ABM play is we really needed to attack the automotive aftermarket. So once everything was already in there, it's a lot of like replacement parts. So those are the people who have, we have a territory rep in Indiana who has 300 Mako stores that he has to visit in every single year. So that's a much better play for us. Good, bad is like hyper-focused, helped us learn a lot of lessons. So the roadblocks were expense and then lessons learned for sure.
Yeah. And personally, like running a scrappy ABM program, I'm a big fan of validating messaging and inexpensive channels. But I know a genuinely incredible agency and a part of their like core package is actually messaging validation. Because if you do a paid program or you do a very hyper-focused program, you learn really quickly, does this resonate or not? So I don't even know it's a roadblock for sure, but shoot, that's a pretty great roadblock to have to learn quickly. This is not our market and we can reprioritize and refocus quickly.
Yep. Yeah. And then once we found out the automotive aftermarket was a really key segment for us, we were seeing a lot of success there in LinkedIn ads and like the more personalized messaging. So I think the roadblock we ran into eventually was it was really hard to get salespeople to call them because they had failed in this initial play. So building that trust and getting them to like actually call these new accounts with a new message, with a new script, with a new sales process was actually like surprisingly difficult. So just got internal buy-in and rebuilding trust.
Yeah. That's so much of what I'm trying to focus in on our early programs is what's the quickest win that you can get for sales? Because the goal is that they come back and are like, this was freaking awesome. How do we do more of this?
Yep.
That's actually a direct line from my decks.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Actually, that rings 100% true because now that I'm like thinking back on it, it was hard for them to do this outbound play, which was go call these automotive aftermarkets with this message that we have validated through marketing, because the other play that we were running to the features page and a much broader audience was working so well that they were like, why would I spend my time doing this when you're bringing me leads that are like ready to buy now?
Yeah. Yeah. That's always difficult to strike that balance. Oh. But again, it sounds like your roadblocks ended up just being incredible lessons that you were able to then quickly pivot. So I love that. As far as results, you already mentioned you had 8 million in qualified pipeline, but I'm curious, again, these were closing in weeks. So what was the revenue that you guys were able to generate through this program?
Yeah. So within 6 months, we were at roughly 1 million in revenue, which was really exciting. Now don't think of it as 8 million converted into 1 million because like pipeline comes first, revenue comes a little bit later. So that was just like in this small time frame of 7 months of running the whole thing, we had 8 million in pipeline and 1 million so far had converted into revenue, but we still had quite a bit of active pipeline.
And I was doing some quick math. That is an 11x ROI on 15K a month in ad spend.
Yeah.
So from a program perspective, and yes, I understand like there's the Zoom info, there's HubSpot, there's your salary. You put all that together though, in a 6 month timeframe, you were at the low end generating a 5x ROI in immediate conversions, not to mention, again, your pipeline was still being worked and the program was still running. So we're talking a 5x ROI in 6 months. That is insane.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. And then we had one big, huge deal. It was still being worked when I left Map My Customers, but brought in through the inbound play and it was like over $1 million potential revenue. So not only is it like bringing in a lot, there's like a lot of potential there too.
That is absolutely insane. All right. Yeah. Last question. And it's more just general. Like this was a very helpful and insightful playbook around, again, what are the core things? I'm talking about this with a lot of people. We talk about it from a product page perspective, but what is the content somebody reads right before they book a call? What is it? And you can just find that content asset or those content assets, drive more people to those pages. sorry, I guess really bullish on that one. But that is just such a simple play that I feel like a lot of people are missing. With that, is there anything else you'd want to share with the audience just around how do you get ABM off the ground?
Yes, I think ABM, like any marketing strategy, is going to take marketing fundamentals. You have to bring it back to marketing fundamentals. And what I define as marketing fundamentals is like STP, segmentation, targeting, positioning, classic marketing stuff. And all of that has to be predicated by customer research. Now, this doesn't have to be, we were a Series A startup, like you said, not a ton of customers. So I didn't have a lot of customers to talk to. I think I was able to talk to two customers, just me one-on-one face-to-face. But what I could do was sit in on a lot of sales calls and watch a lot of sales recordings and talk to sales and talk to customer success and really understand the mindset of our customer and what they were looking for in a solution and the problems they were having that they hoped Map My Customers would solve. So I think that's really the most critical thing with anything. Do demand gen, do ABM, do sales led. Like, I don't care, but make sure you have those fundamentals super, super solid.
I couldn't agree more. I think I've shared this previously, but before I even launched Scrappy ABM publicly, I met with 50 people. I literally scheduled 50 30-minute conversations, and I just said, hey, you're a friend, you're a peer, you're trusted. I'm about to launch a company. I'm like, take a bet on myself. Would you just take 30 minutes to hear like the thought process and the approach and let me know if this resonates or if I'm an idiot? 10 of them became customers. So I think out of that,
amazing.
It was helpful to know. And then I think you and I both agree that podcasting is just a great way to keep a pulse on your customer base or potential customers. Like, I have these conversations all the time and get to hear what's working and what's not. So again, there are ways that you can systematize actually having customer interactions and prospect interactions or ICP interactions all the time. And people just don't think through all the various ways you can do it and really get a lot of value out of it.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Awesome. Mary, again, super pumped that you were able to join today. Really, if people want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
Yep. So you can find me on LinkedIn. Shoot me a DM if you have any questions after listening to this episode. I answer all of my DMs as long as they're not pitches. And you can also find me on my podcast called The Purposeful Marketing Podcast, which I do with my very good friends, Aaron Weeks and James Beckman. So we record a weekly podcast, and it's honestly just three people. Sometimes we have a guest, sometimes we do solo episodes, and we call it marketing therapy. So it's just us like talking about a marketing subject, which is really fun.
I freaking love it. Again, Mary, thank you for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM. We'll see you in the next one. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.